We, I think quite eloquently, and I might take credit for writing that, responded to that in our response letter to PLUS. And that's in the exact framework that Mr. Johnson wanted. We have their responses, their questions, and our response. How they decided that this was a level four is beyond me. From any planning perspective, there's just no way. It might be level three, it might be level two, but it is not level four. This isn't like going out in the boondock someplace and stripping off road frontage lots, and it's not at all like that. They're, the community has already evolved. It's there. As far as our compliance with Sussex County Ordinance 99C, I could go through in chapter and verse, but I'm not going to bore you. If you're willing to stipulate that it's there, it's there. And at that juncture, I'm finished with what I have to say.
All right. We thank
you. I just had an additional comment to the level four. The definition in the comprehensive plan for level four says the state discourages development level four unrelated to the area's needs. And as Mr. LeCates had documented from the Community Development Office, this is a prime site that's needed for Sussex County for affordable housing. So our argument is we are providing a related need. It's not an unrelated need. And so it should be encouraged, not discouraged.
All right. Are we ready for questions? That conclude your presentation for the moment?
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right, then. Well, we'll see if anyone has any questions. And we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Couples, I do appreciate your exhibit booklet. It was very extensive and addressed a lot of the issues and questions that I might normally have, but I do have a couple.
Good.
For Mr. Couples. as I understand, and some what I have to say is more statement than questions, but as I understand it, based on the size of this parcel, which is 22.6762 acres, at four units per acre, you could put as many as 90 housing units on this parcel.
You could.
And what you're proposing instead is 37.
That's right.
And but that having said that, and looking at this and the material in there, I'm still kind of puzzled as to how this is going to be serviced by water and sewer. Are we talking mound systems? Are we talking? I mean, normally when you come to us and you talk about a central, you know, sewer treatment, then we're thinking, you know, plant and spray irrigation or
right.
Or ribs or whatever, but.
The soils here allow a variety of disposal methods, but the regulations within Sussex County require a degree of treatment. In other words, it can't just be a central septic tank and then a discharge to sand mounds, and nor do we intend to do that. So we will have a plant of some sort as incorporated into the wastewater treatment, and then that wastewater, treated wastewater, will then be discharged at about 50%.
On site. So everything's going to be handled on site?
Everything is on site. As far as groundwater recharge, if you're taking the water out, you're simultaneously putting it back in.
And based on that, maybe to address some of the questions, perhaps some of the neighbors, they're not going to be required to hook into any kind of a sewer treatment system. They can continue to maintain their existing systems, whatever they might be.
That's exactly correct. The system that we're proposing is a system to serve the needs of this project.
And this project alone.
And this project alone.
So in terms of the treatment process and issues of potential pollution, what I'm seeing is a project that's going to have a buffer from the adjoining landowners of at least 30 feet.
Right.
And that the treatment area where the final treatment is going to take place is after it's already been gone through some treatment process already.
Right.
So in terms of the potential for pollution, my Am I correct in that your treatment system would be superior to 37 individual septic systems?
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I also noticed in the exhibit booklet there was discussion of fire hydrants.
Mm-hmm.
Would that still be something that can be provided, or?
No, we could put dry systems in, but everything changed, as everybody's well aware of, in the last couple of years as far as what affordable. Affordable was a whole different number 2 years ago. As far as fire protection now, it's going to be fire protection is going to be the same as the fire protection that exists out there now. But we are going to have a community water system. Tidewater is very interested in pursuing that. We're interested in pursuing that because in large measure, people it would be first-time home buyers, and they're not accustomed to dealing with the issues of sewer and with water. So we're going to take that burden off of them through Tidewater. So that's the plan.
But it's yet to be determined whether you're talking about a tank system or what I heard you saying, maybe a shared system of,
exactly,
of a well that, servicing more than one.
It is going to be something that is acceptable to Tidewater as a public utility. And, you know, we're still working through that. But obviously that's down the road.
At least as a minimum, we know that your intention is for Tidewater to take care of the sewer treatement.
Absolutely. And the water.
And the water.
Yeah. The letter of commitment we have from Tidewater.
But in terms of servicing the sewer system, Tidewater is an approved provider.
Tidewater is an approved provider.
Okay. Who maintains this private road right now? Do you know?
It's maintained by the individuals that live on it. Now, Mr. Caswell has, an access. It's part of the joint access. So we will inevitably improve Oak Street to its intersection with Mount Joy Road. I'm sure that the state's going to look for some improvements there. They're just not going to limit whatever we do to here. They're going to want some improvement, so we will make that improvement. That would then be part of our homeowners association.
So as far as from your entrance to 297, your stated intention is to improve the current conditions of that road.
That's correct.
And being that that's a private road, am I correct in assuming that the road would then be brought to county standards?
Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of the impact that your development might have on that portion of the road, it's actually the opposite. There will be an improvement.
Yes.
And your stated housing, you're talking about the modular type homes. So we're not talking mobile homes.
No, we're not talking anything with VIN numbers. It's the examples that you have of the housing are Verica.
And the deed restrictions would also have modular or stick built.
Okay. Stormwater management. I know that's an issue in that whole area.
That's why you have a tax ditch there.
One time we needed John boats to get around. So, in terms of your stormwater management, the way your system will be designed is so that there would not be any more runoff than currently exists on that property.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, we've already had preliminary meetings with the Conservation District. And I think you'll find that's also in the book when we discuss the tax ditch situation and how that ties in with stormwater management for this whole area. Because that's why the tax ditch is there, was the drain this area.
And where will the outfall be of your stormwater management ponds?
We haven't decided exactly where that's going to be, but we have lots of area. We have the L&T tax ditch goes all the way up through here. So we have lots of options as far as discharge.
Okay. And the strip there that leads to 297, does that currently have a couple old mobile homes?
It's got stuff on it.
Like a got stuff on it.
Yes.
Our proposal with that was that that not be included with the development, and we could work with the neighbors potentially to donate it and not make it a burden on the homeowners association.
Do you know if there's people currently residing in any of those stuff?
It's mostly junk cars that are there.
No, actually, there's a trailer there.
Oh, there is a trailer.
I don't know if anybody is or isn't, to be very honest with you.
Okay.
When I was there, there wasn't. There didn't appear to be.
Is there any plans for streetlights?
Well, I would imagine that we're going to have streetlights. And although we haven't shown them here, we would have one here and at the intersections. Back here, probably four. And also, the bus stop, there seems to be a reluctance on part of the school district to drive down private roads. So we may have to improve something out here on Mount Joy Road, State Road, to provide the bus. But we are going to provide streetlights.
And I do not have a large plat to look at, and my magnifying lenses aren't that powerful. Are you planning sidewalks?
Yes.
One side, both sides,
one side.
All three sides?
One side.
One side. And
we got some. Pass it down.
Okay. Thank you.
Glad you're holding out on us tonight.
Yeah. If you'll just bear with me as I take a gander.
We suffer without having Mr. Abbott here.
Well, in Mr. Lang's defense, he is performing double duty tonight.
I see you're proposing two stub streets. Is that your design, or is that something encouraged by DelDOT, or...
Again, you were trying to get the point is to provide interconnectivity, and that does that. Provides access to this property here, property up here, which TP1 LLC. So we've provided the access.
Whether or not it ever actually
whether or not it actually happens, we're not going to clear it out or anything. It'll stay the way it is. But should it will be of record should the plan advance.
I know that's an ongoing issue between subdivisions and DelDOT and the
Initially, when 5-6 years ago, DelDOT didn't want connectivity. They completely reversed themselves. So maybe it'll become fashionable to not have connectivity into the future, but we've provided it on this plan.
Well, thank you, Mr. Couples. That was more than a couple questions for Mr.
That's
Couples,
okay.
But I have no more questions at this point in time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. If you think of something else, just let me know.
I'll be happy to.
Okay. Mr. Burton?
I just have a couple. The Oak Street is a private road, so what you're saying is that you're going to enter into an agreement between the entrance of the development and the...
We have access.
You have access. Okay. And but there'll be some kind of maintenance agreement?
We're going to improve Oak Street from our intersection out to Mount Joy Road. We'll maintain, and we will, through our homeowners association, maintain that.
Maintain it all the way down to 247 throughout.
Exactly.
Okay. Back to the clearing of the woods that you can't get a cat through. Are you going to clear the other half that you don't need, or clear the other half?
There's some specimen trees in there, but the majority of it's sort of scrub. It's not high-quality woods by any stretch of imagination. But after you build your roads through, as far as the individual houses, in all probability, you won't clear the backyards. If there's reasonable woods there, why would you want to?
I'm talking about the place for the sanitary area.
Here.
Yes.
50% of it will not be cleared. And if beside the disc where you're discharging, if that would go bad, then that would be left to go back to a forest. The other area would be cleared.
Okay, but you're planning on leaving it the way it is.
It would be no net gain, no net loss.
Okay. And then just to so that I'm clear on the access to 247, that dwelling that's there, and
we're giving that lot to the community, whether the church or the community. But that was the intent. Matter of fact, there's a note there. It's an out parcel to be conveyed as open space. It's not to be built upon. It's not going to be a building lot. We'll convey it as specifically open space, so it can be used by the community for open space uses. That's it.
And it was just bought that way? Is that
pardon?
Why that stub is?
Yeah, there? It was bought.
It was encroached on over time and.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Couples, certainly the commission's aware of your credentials. I want to ask you, you've got 27 pages here from Leif Erickson, Atlantic Resource Management, about the wastewater treatment and disposal system, his site observations. How would you capsulize his findings, and what type of confidence do you have in them?
Well, that's already been forwarded to the state. That's what they call a PGIA. That's a preliminary geological investigation. The state has accepted that. Mr. Erickson is a recognized expert in soils, has been in this area for a very long time. So from a standpoint of confidence level, I'd say 99%. Be very honest with you, there are really only two soil scientists that our firm uses. We use him and we use Lisa Wood. Lisa, as you know, may know, is pursuing a higher degree at this point. So it's going to, when she comes back, it'll be Dr. Lisa. I have every reason to believe that the information is true and correct. I noticed the piezometers. We monitored the water levels on the site, and that bodes well in terms of what the groundwater reserves are for water supply. So not only did that answer what the sewer capacity of the ground is, but it also provided information on the capacity of the site to provide water supply. And in both cases, it was fine.
Mm-hmm. And respecting what the chairman said at the beginning, that owing to Mr. Robertson's the change of zone, to look at this site. But I noticed when I was reading Mr. Erickson's report, and you said he was an expert, he puts in there on one of his pages that it's more efficient and preferred to conduct a combined preliminary review and detailed soil investigation report. However, at this time, the client wishes only to proceed with a very preliminary review.
Right. We've done the monitoring. We've done what is necessary to provide assurances that the system will work as planned. To carry it on further, which would go all the way up through permitting. Mr. Caswell didn't want to do it, and quite frankly, I didn't recommend it either, because again, it's this project isn't 100% give me project. You folks have a lot of impact on it, and to spend those kind of funds on the IFCOM, sort of foolish move. So we didn't, and we haven't on any of our projects, quite candidly.
All right. So what you're saying is you decided not to follow his advice at this time.
He was interested, in carrying the project forward. We're interested in carrying the project forward, but carrying the project forward with a preliminary plan approval. We don't have that yet.
So your intention then would be, if you got that from
the
commission, to move forward, because as you mentioned, the piezometers were read, seems like they were read during the dry season. Am I correct in my interpretation?
The piezometers are read from December through May.
Right, but they haven't been read for this project in that time period. Isn't that correct? Weren't they read in July? Because the department expressed...
If you go back further, you'll find that the piezometers were read during the wet season, too.
For 6 months during the wet season or just during the month?
From December through May.
Mm-hmm. Really? Okay.
Well, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton, you had another question?
Yeah, I just had one on the tax ditch. I forgot to ask this. It says the tax ditch is currently located on the northwest property line. An 80-foot right-of-way on the tax dip is currently associated with the tax ditch. A verbal agreement was made to reduce the tax ditch.
That's what they do.
That's what they do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if they didn't get it to you, everything changed.
On that side.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, sir. Mr. Lennon?
Just one question. But again, it relates to that area. It'd be out on Route 297. Could that not be used for a bus shelter?
Sure, it could.
As a part of the open space?
It could be.
That would serve the project.
It would serve the project and the neighborhood.
And the community.
Well, what we're going to rely on is what the school district wants us to do.
I agree. And you're right. Yeah. They don't typically take buses into private subdivisions.
They don't want to do it.
End up with a liability. That's all I have.
All right, Council?
No questions. All mine have been asked and answered. Thanks.
Thank you. I have one thing I would like to address, and that is the on-site sewage disposal. As you know, over the years, and some not very far from here, have turned out to be real disasters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is different now? What safeguards are in place? What kind of assurance can you give the future homeowners, if this is approved, and the neighbors that we won't see those kind of problems here?
Well, and I share your concern, because you're absolutely correct. There's a number that got themselves in trouble. Denrick's gotten a little bit more sophisticated in how they do these things. They're looking for financial surety, some way of bonding the project that if it's not maintained, that they will have the funds to come in and maintain it. That, I think, is the key. At the end of the day, you follow the money. And a lot of projects did get into trouble. They built facilities, and they built facilities for a large number of houses, and all of a sudden they had a small number of houses and not enough revenue to keep the plant running. We're not looking at a very sophisticated mechanical plant here. We are looking at predominantly a natural type system with UV disinfecting. So it's not going to be an expensive plant facility to run. It's going to fulfill the needs of Denrick, the needs of the county, and the financial surety to assure its future will be in place in accordance with state law. They have the regulations have really been toughened up, and they needed to be.
Who operates this plant?
Tidewater.
Okay.
That's who's committed to us.
Okay, so it's going to be a Tidewater
managed
facility.
We're going to turn it over to them.
Okay. Is there any kind of special certification that goes with that type of operation? Are they required to have people?
They have to do periodic testing. They have to have certified operators.
Okay.
The state licenses the operators for wastewater treatment for all sorts of different classifications, and they have those people on staff.
All right, sir. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. If you would take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1688 Harry Caswell Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional or to change of zone number 1688? Yes, sir. Step right up. You've been very patient this evening, so if you'll come up, give us your name. You can have the floor for just about as long as you'd like to have it.
Thank you. Wayne Baker, 28410 Clayton Street, Dagsboro, Delaware. I have a property on Mount Joy Road not far from where this proposed development is to take place. And I helped pass the petition out that you have with the 56 signatures on it. A lot of the concerns, of course, are what we stated, and that is the fact that Route 297 Mount Joy Road is only 20 feet wide, point to point, no shoulders, and no emergency vehicles can get down that road with the amount of truck traffic that comes from Mount Air Farms. It is a thoroughfare from Georgetown to Old Carter, Long Neck, that area. Excuse me. Very heavily traveled. I just don't think that the infrastructure is in place to be able to put another development on that property along Mount Joy Road without making corrections to 297, either to widen that road, to make it have shoulders on it, pedestrian bike lanes, walking paths. Even the roads in the proposed development are larger than what Mount Joy Road is. So Mount Joy Road today would not even meet county standards. Plus, we had no sidewalks. If you had your sidewalks in, this probably would widen out another 5 to 7 feet if there was a buffer. So I don't see two chicken trucks trying to get off the road with no shoulders and a fire truck or an ambulance or a policeman trying to respond to that. Also, I think the average is like 10.2 visits per day per household that DelDOT recognizes. At least those were the last numbers that I was aware of. DelDOT has a letter of no objection, and for good reason. They're not going to encroach on anything owned by DelDOT. They're actually coming out on a private street. And the residents on Oak Street are not as happy about this as DelDOT is. You know, they bought on a dead-end one-way street expecting to have privacy. Now they're not having that. So you're going to put that much more traffic onto a one-lane subdivided property that is probably not as wide as Route 20. Also, the houses that are on the corner and abut up to that property, in the event of a well failure, if the septic system at large is there, would those people be able to put a well back in? Would that endanger those properties that abut that? Now, I know that Denrec will go through a lot of things. I know this is workforce housing, as you call it. But I know that to maintain any type of well and septic system, especially by a third party, is very expensive. And all of you gentlemen know what it costs to put in a sewer system and a water system and what it takes to maintain it. I contend that the infrastructure is not in place now, and it should not go forward with the project until such time as that the infrastructure is in place, until we have actually widened 297 or that we know the monies are there to do it and that water and sewer is available. According to Sussex County's maps, they're not planning to put water and sewer in that level four area for several years. In fact, it's not even in the program. So I'm not opposed to any man utilizing the property to the best of his ability. But I think when a property is requested a zoning change and it affects the people around it, that those people need to be given due consideration. And that's the reason that I'm here to speak in opposition of it. Certainly not because I have anything against Mr. Caswell or anyone wanting to do something in low-income housing. I think that's commendable. On the other hand, I don't think if you're going to affect the rights of others that project should go forward. There's some stormwater management issues. I think that is a low area back there. In fact, I know it's a low area back there. I'm just not convinced, and I say this because I've had some dealing with developers and things along the way. I've had a little bit of public service, but is this development passed at this point, or where is it at with that? Is it even up for review?
What? No, it isn't anywhere near that yet.
Okay.
Where we are right now is this is kind of the first stop. Okay, they've applied for a change of zone. We will make a recommendation to County Council. Then there will be another public hearing, very similar to this one. Not as good and professional as this one, of course, but it'll be a public hearing. It'll be a public hearing, and you will need to be there. Okay, all of you will need to be there, and you essentially go through the same thing again. They will take our recommendation in consideration. Doesn't necessarily mean they'll follow it. And then they will make the final decision. Then at that point, the property is cleared to be developed under that zoning classification. Then there will be a site plan process that takes quite a bit of time, not as much time as it used to, because people aren't as busy as they used to be. So it's a ways away from happening. I mean, it's by no means a sure thing at this point. As I say, this is the first step, not the last.
Yeah, and one other concern would be the amount of HOA fees that would have to be in place to support the water and sewer system and maintenance of any buildings or activities that would go on. Even a $200,000 priced home, you know, if you were in for $1,200 or $1,500 a month, mortgage payment and add everything else in, that's still pretty steep for a working class man, I guess, I think, working for at the lower end of the scale.
Okay, I think our council would like to clarify my earlier.
No, I don't want to clarify anything Mr. Wheatley said, because I think it's all correct. But just for the folks that are here with the concerns about this or that in the neighborhood, it is a rezoning. I mean, that's correct. And it does have to go to county council, like Mr. Wheatley talked about. There will be another hearing. All the commission does is make a recommendation. But it's a little bit different than what the commission and the council see a lot of times, in that they're not asking for an increase in density. In other words, we're not starting with AR at 2 units an acre, and they're asking for GR that allows 4 units an acre. It's GR right now, along with a lot of property around it looks like. So the underlying zoning is not changing with the permitted density of that underlying zoning. What they're asking for is a rezoning to put the overlay over top of it that allows them to build this particular plan of a subdivision. So I don't want anybody to have any misconceptions. They're not, what the county's considering is not an increase in density or anything like that. It's whether a project such as this can go forward on that property.
And I appreciate that, but I also know that once the zoning is changed, and because there is no, at this point, site plan review or any...
Well, that's not completely accurate, because it being an RPC, the commission and council get to recommend conditions. And typically on RPCs, one of the conditions of approval is, you know, they've got to go through the site plan process, but there's going to be some number of lots that are permitted as part of that, if it gets approved. Now, I don't even want to say that it's going to get approved. I don't want you to think that anybody up here has prejudged it. But if an RPC, when it gets approved by the county, there's usually a condition in there that says the number of lots shall not exceed whatever the number may be. So if an applicant wants to come back in, or they think they can get whatever the number was, I think Mr. Johnson said 90-some-odd lots, they're not going to be able to do it. They're going to have to go through this whole process again. So, there's safeguards that are in place for that happening.
And I understand that, but that's still, once you change it,
right,
that changes the numbers by law.
Well, in this instance,
the zoning already exists.
Yeah, the numbers, the zoning, the GR zoning already exists. The reality here is that with this change of zone, they actually will be restricted to less units than what they could build under the straight GR zoning. So I know it's odd, but that is, that's the way it is. Right now, it's already zoned GR, okay? So they could do something. They could bring a site plan in here, and if it conforms to the ordinance, it would be passed, because the zoning is already in place. What they are asking for is an RPC overlay, and that, when they ask for that, that gives us the ability to play, and County Council the ability to place certain conditions. One of those conditions most assuredly will be 37 lots, and that's it. So in some respects, you might even, you know, you might even be better off, but who knows?
And I understand, but and yeah. I guess if we looked at the whole of the 22 acres, we don't know how much of that would perk to start with.
That's a good point, well taken. Sure.
So, like I say, I'm not opposed to Sussex County having development. I'm opposed to Sussex County continuing to have development without infrastructure in place. And this is why we have the 113 bypass committee and all of these people in place, because nobody can get out on the road today, because 25 years ago or 50 years ago, we didn't put the forethought into what needed to happen as far as infrastructure, and we're kind of playing catch up. And without our self-imposed moratorium on building, Lord knows where we would be. You guys wouldn't be able to keep up, nor would anyone else. So, for that reason and the reasons we stated, we're in opposition to the project going forward. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Baker. Appreciate your comments. Who else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Number 9. Come on up here.
A lot of gym. 90 acres of gym.
Good evening, Councilor. My name is Donald Mullen. I stay on Route 297, 26395 Mount Joy Road. And you know, I'll just like the gentleman just said, I'm not really imposing all of Mr. Caldwell's site. Just from being there, I've like lived there ever since I was 13 years old. Over the years, as for the traffic in the area, it's really increased. And it's a lot more traffic and all than it used to be years ago. There's been a lot of death on that road in that particular area, from where I stay all the way to the other side and all of Mount Joy and all to the crossroad past the church itself and all. So I just think, you know, with the development in place like that, it's going to be, you know, more children in the area. It's going to make it, in my opinion and all, no one has really never respected the speed limit in the area. It's 35 miles an hour when you like approach Mount Joy. There's been times and all that people have like knocked down mailboxes right next door to my neighbor, even in my yard. Over the last 6-7 years and all, I mean, it's been, I would say in probably the last 7-8 years, probably been at least like 5 to 6 deaths right in that area. So just alone and all, as for that, I just think that it would just make it a lot more, you know, children in the area. It's never been, like I said, no one has really never respected the speed limit in the area. I was always concerned about that and all in general. My wife and all personally, in the last like 6 years, there's been a lot of, you know, drug activity in that area, thank God and all, in the last few years and all. They have cleaned it up somewhat. But it still is from, you know, from where I talk to different neighbors. And we, you know, we of course hope it gets better, even better. But right now, and all I tell you is, to me and all, I'm 49 years old. You know, sometimes I work 2 jobs and all here and there and all. And my wife and all, she doesn't feel safe and all, even like staying home by herself until she gets up, till I get off work and all. And I usually get home like 9:30. And, I mean, she actually bought one of these instruments, you know, where you put under the knob, and plus she deadbolts it, and sometimes I can't even get in the house. She's that really concerned and all.
You
it's like
she's trying to tell you something?
It's like, open the door, come on. But, you know, I mean, she's really concerned and all, because it's been like, actually, you know, a mile away from my home and all, it's actually been, there was a break-in and all where a husband and wife had a like child and all. She was 4 years old. They were robbed at gunpoint right in her house and all, a mile away from us. And, you know, it's just been a concern. I would just like Mr. Caswell to, like, you know, try to find out, like, a lot of the history of that area and all. We actually, like, 2 or 3 years ago, actually considered moving and all, because she was that uncomfortable. You know, we still stayed there and all, but I don't know, because it was my grandma's land and all, and I, you know, when she died and all, she left it to me. So that's why I reasoned that I really didn't want to leave. But I'll tell you the truth and all, there's been times and all that we actually wanted to move from the area ourselves just because of that. And like I said, I'm not coming down on Mr. Caswell and all because, I think to a certain extent it's a good idea. But at the same time, like you said, the traffic, sometimes I get up a lot and all and walk in the morning. It's not really safe and all. I'm always concerned and all. As for like, I have to watch myself continuously. So as for that and all, I just think that it's probably... You will have to do a lot of research and all, and make sure and all. If you put this in plan or put this like motion in place and all, as for just like the gentleman spoke a while ago, as for the road itself, it's like really not wide. It would have to be a lot of other considerations to take in place and all, instead of just the development itself. Okay. That's all I wanted to say, but I'm not like coming down on you. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir.
Rudolph Daisy, Sr. I'm a resident of Mount Joy. I was probably one or two first ones built out there. I built in 65, raised five boys, and it's a nice area. We got a lot. I got hearing aids, so that's messing you up. Everything is good, but he was talking about the roads is narrow. These guys on the weekends, these tourists ride these bicycles up down that road is taking their life in their own hands because they ain't got nowhere to go. They need a bike trail on either side of the road. Plus, I don't know these people ever, January, February, March, ever visit that area
sir,
or not.
Sir, excuse me, sir. I would like you, if you would, direct your comments to the commission.
All right. Okay. Well, I would just ask them to see if they visit our area in December, January, and February, because from Route 30, a mile down the road, on the south side of the road, we had nothing but water. I had I pumped 10 inches of water out of my house every day, and for about 2 months. I had to have a new septic system about 5 years ago. That was about $8,000. I had to have an LP because it wouldn't perk, and this is why I think they're going to run into problems in that area. That ground's not going to perk because across the road, my aunt lives there, and a fellow moved in from Florida. He had 10 wheels loads of dirt this spring put in there so it could get out of the house, get to his business back there. So, it's if the sewer and water come through there or something like that, it might be okay. But I as a developer writing back on me, about probably 200 lots, they've sold 5 houses in 2.5 years. So, I don't wonder if think this is going to be successful or not. And another thing, this low housing, what are we going to run into? Affordable housing. Are we going to run into somebody that can't afford the low housing? Going to run into more crime? Because it's a busy place there on the weekends.
Yeah, this is not low income housing.
No, I'm talking about. I'll rearrange that affordable housing.
Right.
Yeah.
Workforce housing.
I was an insurance agent for 30 years.
$200,000 homes. Yeah. So it's not.
Well,
we're probably going to get people who have pretty good jobs.
What are we going to run in this affordable housing then? Are we going to run in the problems they got in this area? Or what? So, it's a lot of questions here to answer before they jump into this thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a bad guy. I don't care. I'm not standing in the success. But, I got family raised up there. And one time my grandfather owned all that. And I was fortunate to got a piece of land on the other side of the road, which is pretty high. But you talk about water, I had it. So, this is something you're going to think about because this water stands back there bad. Dirty mess where our boots go better. See you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Daisy. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Council. My name's Anthony Daisy. I've been a resident of Mount Joy for 49 years.
You know that guy back there?
And
you know that guy back there?
Yes, my dad.
All right.
I moved back home with my mom and dad because all the crime in the area. It's bad down there. It's lack of police down there. Like one of the residents said, they don't respect the laws down there. They don't respect the speed limits. There's no, I never see a state trooper going down that road. But I think Mr. Caswell needs to do more research in the area. You might have a Millsboro cop buy a $200,000 home. You might have a library buy a $200,000 home. But that type of housing ain't going to mix with Sawn Oak Rail, Oak Street. Because I did all the petition. I went down there. There's people live in the places of junk. He called junk. That's a man's home because he can't afford $200,000 houses. So I think you need to do a lot more research. Like my dad said, there's a development on Route 30 right behind us. It's only sold 5 places. People don't want to buy there because of the neighborhood. And there needs to be the infrastructure done. The roads ain't wide enough. I walk with Donald Mullen every morning. We got to worry about getting hit walking. That's terrible. I almost got hit by a fire truck going to a fire down there because people wouldn't get over for them. And that almost happened 2 years ago. But there's a lot of research got to be done in that area for it. Even a development like that even start. I mean, I just think the $200,000 house people ain't going to mix with the neighborhood. It's going to be a big problem, a lot of crime. And it's desperate times now. I've seen it. That's all I got to say.
Next question, Dave. And you two people made reference to a project that's not successful, it only has 5 houses. Which project's that?
It's called Oak Ridge. It's on Route 30, north of Kingston Ridge.
Kingston. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
It's all wide open. And another thing I got to say, I lived there all my life, and that woods they're trying to develop. There's no place for wildlife now. And there's where all the wildlife is now. We got like 200 to 300 deer living in that woods, I know. But I go out and take pictures of deer. I love wildlife. When you develop that, where's it going to go? And nobody cares about wildlife no more. They'd rather build houses. And that's a concern for me. That's what Sussex County is about. Got older people, we lived off the land. We had to. That's all I got to say.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else? Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I'd like to go back to that little piece that sticks out towards 297. If your project is, Mr. Couples, I guess, or...
Gilmore.
Thank you, Mrs. Gilmore. I haven't gotten acclimated to that name yet. You're talking about either donating it to somebody or whatever. My concern is that it doesn't become abandoned property that then is ripe for, you know, the drug addicts or people to dump their trash or whatever. So
we were trying to reach out to members of the community in that area. It was unresponsive. I tried to contact the church in the area to see if they would help facilitate us contacting different people about maybe taking that on as an open area. We were unsuccessful with that.
So the church has no interest in that?
I haven't been able to. I've talked to one lady. She was going to take it to the church, and I have not had any response from them because we thought that would be a good start because they were right there. They might have some involvement with a lot of the people. I haven't had any response.
What I've seen in the area, that probably would be your best bet in terms of something that could be maintained.
We wanted to do something practical than impractical and not create a parcel that was just there becoming a burden to the HOA and that might solve a county problem with some of the neighboring lots with some of the, because it's not of any use to the community, but if there's a encroachment, we could certainly work with those people or someone in the community.
So given your inability yet to have someone step up, if you can't get someone to take responsibility for that, then how would you intend to use that piece?
Mr. Johnson, there's two alternatives. The way I would see it is to annex that to the adjoining lots at no cost, or to maintain it simply as open space for the development. We're not just going to abandon it and have it as an eyesore. We're not going
to
do that.
But we can't force people
to
fix a problem.
Make them take it.
You know, we're trying to offer it, but we, if we can get a taker for it, we'll certainly do the practical approach.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, then. Before we close the public hearing, I want to thank the members of the public who were here this evening. You were very patient, had to wait a very long time to speak. We appreciate it. Your comments are important. As several of you pointed out, it isn't anything personal. This is what makes our job so difficult. There are good people on both sides of these issues every time. And I can assure you that everyone's comments will be taken into consideration. And with that, I would close the public hearing. And you're welcome to remain to see if we make a decision this evening, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Gentlemen, that completes our public hearing agenda for the evening. Before we reorganize, I guess let's refer back to our hearings and that taken care of first. So our first public hearing was conditional use number 1838, Brian L. White and Lisa D. White.
Mr. Chairman, concerning conditional use number 1838 for Brian and Lisa White, my motion is for deferral to give the commission time for further consideration.
And also, do we need that? Did we want that Del Dot?